brother. What's up?
This is a groovy party, man.
Yeah, brother, dig it. Solid. Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Time now for the Empowerment Hour, the hottest show on Saturday mornings in Jacksonville on Praise 107.9. And now, here's your host on the Empowerment Hour, Dr. Richard Danforth, president of the Jacksonville Urban League, Jarman Leitner, president of First Thursday, and the producer and host, W. Larry Williams, CEO of Anchor Multicultural Communications Company.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams with Dr. Richard Danforth and Jarman Leitner, and Roger in the background doing a great job keeping us on track. It's another beautiful day in Jacksonville. I hope everybody is enjoying this wonderful Saturday morning, and thank God for blessings, and thank God for another day to be alive and well. Jarman and Doc, there's a lot going on around the country, and especially a lot going on in Jacksonville, as always. And let's start out talking about the increase the new increase in COVID cases that's deriving from new variants of COVID-19 and starting to spread. I think we're in 27 states now with the new variants. What's going on? Is it? I thought we were getting inoculated and vaccinated and all of this stuff, and COVID-19 was over. Especially when I looked at some of the news clips and saw the beaches crowded and folks in bars full and restaurants opening up to 100% capacity. That doesn't sound like it's we need to be worried about COVID.
Yes, it looks like we're still learning what's going on, and it just appears that there are a lot of mixed messages. Even though the cases are increasing, we have variants. We have information out there that the vaccines do work, or the vaccinations work for just the COVID-19 and not the variants. Like you said, it's just a lot of information. But one consistent piece of information is still to social distance and mask up, and still be in the mindset of being cautious, you know, and implementing those safety protocols in spite of the vaccinations because of the variants and the unknowns.
Yeah, Dr. Danforth, the unknowns, as Jarman is pointing out, but the knowns are that we know that masking and social distancing works. So, you know, that's a deal where we need to find out what's happening there. Right now, what it takes 80% to create herd immunity, and we're at probably 26% inoculation.
Yes,
so we'll move on to the Doc, let's move on to the gas tax in Jacksonville. The proposed tax, I guess, the mayor and other city officials are touting a 6 to 8 cents increase in the gas tax. So what's the thinking about that? Isn't that regressive and going to be an additional hardship on middle income and low income folks?
Well, I don't think that's ever been a concern, really. Poor people, I mean, it's obvious that, we're going to do what we need to do. I don't know. I see some good things happening with the gas tax in terms of more people being employed. on some of the jobs. They're putting quite a bit of money into that Skyway Express. And, you know, that's that train, that's that system that runs around downtown. And they have, I understand, a couple of choices. You know, it's going to cost millions to tear it down. It's going to cost millions to repair it. And it's going to cost millions for extending it and using more technology to ride people around downtown. And I guess the main thing is to be able to ride one of those vehicles down to the stadium and maybe across to South Point. But I guess we'll see whether the things that have been included as being funded will give the public the opportunity to at least say yay or nay. So we'll see. That's ongoing.
Well, Dr. Danford, in addition to the potential gas hikes, we see that the parking meter prices are going to increase in downtown Jacksonville as well. Currently, I read where it's reported that the parking meter is $5 per day, and it's going to increase to $20 per day. And how is that going to affect, you know, working class? You know, so the prices of gas are potentially going to go up, and the price to park where they have to work and they have to frequent. So again,
they don't care about the working people. They're trying to build up downtown in any way and in fashion that they can for tourism. And that's why they're going to increase that monorail deal from 2.5 or 3 miles to 10 miles around the city, around downtown. But, you know, I think we have some more urgent transportation needs in and around Jacksonville. The mobility you know, the north and northwest corridors should be addressed. With part of those taxes are talking about, replacing septic tanks and everything. But anyway,
Larry,
Dr. Danford pointed out, that's going to be voted on by the public. You have your opportunity when it gets on the ballot to make your choice of whether it's a good thing for Jacksonville or not. And so,
Larry, have you driven around Jacksonville lately? Have you seen any tourists?
Have I seen any? I didn't see any for the last 5 years. But that's, you know,
maybe you were driving in the wrong spot.
I see we're going to have some concerts now on the land where we used to have the landing.
Yeah, we could have had concerts over at Lot J too, but anyways, Chauvin trial with it's been, you know, front page news page news all around the country, and the George Floyd murder, you know, that it's just appalling every time I look at it on television and see. You know, someone with their knee on someone's neck for almost 10 minutes, it still just rubs me the wrong way. And, you know, the justification from the defense is just as appalling. What you guys' thoughts on the George Floyd trial, Chauvin trial for George Carr?
Well, I just think about what I just read in reference to the mental health experts. Like you said, I don't need to re-see the video again. I've stopped looking at that part of it. But mental health experts are worrying that the trial may revive some feelings of trauma and emotional and psychological consequences for Blacks. And that was interesting that the experts would say that, because, you know, the trauma has been there because of systemic racism. This just adds to it. You know, there may be some feelings revived around what happened, but this perpetuates in our society the killing of innocent Black men and the other racist things that we have to deal with that are embedded in our system. So the trauma is there. Now we need to be talking about how to dismantle the systemic racism and be preventative in things like this.
Well, John, let me say this, that the only difference between this incident and others is that this one was videotaped, okay? This kind of treatment for African Americans in particular, you know, is common occurrence, you know, around America. This is just one case where it was captured live on video for over 9 minutes, where the officer used no remorse, and it just appeared as though he was really enjoying killing this man, you know?
Yeah, that, you know, if you looked at the expressions on his face and his the folks around him, there was no concern for the health of George Floyd. But anyways,
it was just like a lynching.
Yeah, we're going to have to take a break out before we lynch anybody. We're going to take a break and hear music selection and come back after that with the more on the Empowerment Hour, talking about a new golf course that's opening up in Arlington. This is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
Your story is my fingerprint, yeah. In the valley, you'll find confidence. In the shadow, I will be your strength. One thing's for sure, I am your Lord. Yeah.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. It's Larry Williams, along with Dr. Richard Danford and Jarman Leichner, and we're having a great time this Saturday morning. And as always, there's something going on in Arlington, and some, usually something good. So yesterday, Friday, the First District City Council person Joyce Morgan announced the opening of the new Blue Cypress Golf Course in Arlington. And I understand it's a nice nine-hole golf course that has a first tee for youngsters. That sounds so good because I'd love to see youngsters out there playing golf. And John and Doc, what are your thoughts on having a golf course over in Arlington? It should be great.
Well, let me just speak to that. It's a really nice golf course that had been idle for many, many years. It used to be the University Golf Club, and we now have a company that's managing it. I believe it's Indigo Golf, and we have a first tee program there. And you may not know that it is located where we have a very active field. We have soccer players, teams every weekend involved in that. And hopefully once we get the new pool, it would be even a greater place. And of course, Arlington, I think, is one of the most beautiful neighborhoods in Jacksonville. You know, it's right there on the river, and we've got the boardwalk, and we've got a place where you can launch your boat. And if you just want to walk around and get in touch with nature, we have all of those amenities in Arlington. So we're dealing with some of the crime issues in Arlington, but we want all of Jacksonville to know that Arlington is a great community. And the opening of Blue Cypress Golf Course would add another positive amenity to this great community.
All right. So, Jarman, we're talking about that. We leave the Arlington Tourism Bureau, and you mentioned the first tee part of that in something that you'd like to have your kids get involved in.
Yes, I think that's going to be a great program to the Arlington area as well for children. I've looked into that program for my kids before, and so I'm going to have to relook into that, get some information, and see how I can potentially get them signed up. It sounds like it'll be a safe sport, you know, with COVID, sure, being able to mask up and social distance with golf. So I think it's a perfect opportunity for some of our children to get some exposure to golf. So since not a lot of African Americans get exposure to golf.
Now, absolutely.
Since we're talking about youth, Attorney General Ashley Moody and the Florida Consortium of Urban League Affiliates yesterday announced a new program to help young victims of crime thrive. And it is the new public service program, and it's administered through four of the urban leagues around the state, and the Jacksonville affiliate is included in that. So the Attorney General is providing federal funding for victim advocates and crime victim services for Floridians affected by criminal activity, such as assault, bullying, domestic violence, and gang activity.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting. So hopefully we can have some detailed information about how they can get service and who can receive it and those sorts of things. Sound like an amazing program, Doc. And speaking about programs and helping folks, the Amazon workers in Alabama defeated their efforts to be unionized, and that was, I think, not so unexpected, Dr. Danford.
Well, it's, you know, it's tough, Larry, to unionize a company like Amazon. I mean, they have so much money, and they are paying good wages. And
yes,
it's going to be tough for the unions to get into that system. You think it's in Alabama? Wait till they come over here to Florida to try to get unionized.
So, John, as we move forward, then talking about online and Amazon being one of the premier technology directed companies, there's a piece in the yesterday's news that the GOP, the Republican Party, is telling folks that online donors that give every month, or we will have to tell Trump you're a defector. So if I don't, if I can't donate every month a portion of my money to the Donald Trump campaign, then I'm what is a defector?
Defector is someone who has abandoned their country. You've gone to the opposing side. So
wow.
it sounds like a very aggressive statement to make at people who are volunteering to
donate
their money.
How much money are we talking about? Because you know, if you're talking about the GOP, you're talking about money. So how much?
Yes.
How much money are they squeezing out of these old ladies down there?
old men and women, Doc, and we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars from these individual donors that has gone into this campaign and without their knowledge, for the most part.
Sounds fraudulent.
Well, you know the JEA, that was without our knowledge.
Well, wait, Larry, let's just clarify. So the donations are being taken out monthly, and they signed up thinking that it was a one-time donation.
That's what the people that are suing to get their money back are saying. Yes.
They've
refunded $64 million.
Yeah, Mike Getz. Mike
Getz what he deserves.
Was he trying to get the donors too? What was his deal?
He was trying to get the young girls.
Oh, you mean like Epstein?
Yes, but only worse because he wasn't smart enough to hide it. He paid somebody $900 to pay the girl.
That much?
Okay, so you guys have like totally been so moving.
but look here. The one of the other things that we need to talk about, in Georgia, Major League Baseball decided to move their premier All-Star event. This annual All-Star game is one of the events that everyone in baseball and across the country look forward to. They moved it from Georgia to Colorado because of the controversial voter suppression law, quote unquote suppression law, that was passed recently by the Georgian Republican Party. And you know, a lot of folks are confused, and you know, the Georgian saying that Georgia's law is the same or Colorado's law is just as bad as Georgia's. I wouldn't want to be proud of having a bad law, period.
Well, you know, Augusta National Golf Course, you know, that's that exclusive private golf course up in Augusta where they play the Masters. And of course, the president of this, of Augusta National, said that they're not going to respond to the protest. They're not going to pull out of the Masters because of the voter suppression in Georgia. But what about the economic suppression?
Yeah, so you have one that is going to has pulled out of Georgia, and one who's saying that they're not. But it sounds like their All-Star game not being there is still going to affect Georgia economically.
You budget that in, and you spend a lot promoting the fact that you're going to host that game. So there's a lot of money already out there that they will probably recoup their investment initially, but they won't get the economic benefit of those thousands of people that come there for the game and the experience of the Major League Baseball All-Star game. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But I'll tell you what, about 10 years ago, next deal, we'll come back and take up some of the time in the education corner and we'll talk about this some more. This is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour. We'll be back.
gonna hear about pretend together like this.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
The ultimate gospel experience.
Carmen Leitner, and our special education contributor, Daryl Willey, school board vice chair. Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. Happy Saturday, Daryl. What's going on over at DCTS?
Happy Saturday, indeed. A lot of great things happening at DCTS. Of course, a lot of changes happening as well. Testing, we got graduation, which is right around the corner, crazy enough.
Graduation?
Wow, that's
I know. We're already talking about graduation.
Like wow.
It's been a year.
Yes.
And we're that's amazing.
About it. Yeah. So some good things happen.
Is it going to be virtual graduation?
Yes. We're gonna do them in a smaller scale. Last year, what we did is we converted them and pushed them to the schools. So most of them had them in their stadiums and whatnot with limited capacity. We'll do that again. The schools that don't have a stadium will accommodate them in some other places. But unfortunately, we can't just let loose and let everybody come because, you know, we just don't want to have super spreader events. We're at the tail end of this. We're doing well. That's probably been the biggest concern. A lot of emails I'm getting is folks saying, hey, I want to pull my whole family to graduation, but we're only giving two or so tickets just to keep everybody safe.
Well, what's a normal ticket? families.
You probably get 10 or so because you're right. Usually okay. Going in the stadium. Or
so I see there'll be a lot of negotiating around for tickets, huh?
Yeah. You, who do you love most? Who do you love most? Well, it's unfortunate. So it is.
Will the test be indicative of whether you graduate or not, whether that family can come to a graduation?
Yeah. Well, what we usually do is folks are able to walk. Like if they're close to those graduation requirements, we don't want hold them and they do graduate. So we'll let folks walk, but graduation is going to be different because they're not waiving those testing requirements. So those seniors will still have to make sure they pass those exams to be able to graduate. So we're working diligently to make sure they do that, providing extra supports and tutoring. And that's something that's different than last year. Very different.
Well, that's good, Darryl, because those students that need that extra work probably weren't anticipating that they might be taking those tests this year because of COVID.
We told them right from the jump, though. We weren't sure, and we said, hey, we don't know how this state's going to operate, so let's prepare like you're going to have to do it. So we never gave a message in the beginning of the year that said tests might be waived. We always went with the default of, hey, you're going to have to do it. So hopefully that worked out, but some folks may have been leaning on the other side.
Hey, Darryl. I understand that the Office of Economic Opportunity, I believe that's the office with Paula Wright.
Yes, sir.
They are having a Zoom meeting on how to do business with, how to take advantage of this 1/2-penny sales tax. Are you familiar?
They sure are. Yeah, they sure are. So it's similar to the great program that we had to sort of kick off the half-penny piece, even before it was actually passed. Now we're trying to get more and more vendors, especially vendors that identify as minority owned or women owned businesses, to come in and reap some of the benefits of these sales tax dollars. So the way that we do that is we show people the path. And so it's a Zoom session. So you don't have to leave the comfort of your office. You can get some of your office folks to jump on and just listen in, and they will walk through exactly what it will take to do business with the district. And everything, it runs the gamut. And I want folks to know, from catering to painting to landscaping to if you can build a whole building, come be a vendor with the district, because we have a lot of stuff going on.
So that is good news, and hopefully they'll take advantage of that. But you can also give, hopefully you'll give the Empowerment Hour show some credit for this.
I was about to say the same thing, Doc, but I'm glad you
did. So you got the money, Darryl. I mean, we did our job. I think we did very well.
Should I give you credit now, like live on the air, or should we?
Yes, on the air. Look,
I appreciate the Empowerment Hour. Here we go. I appreciate it. Right. Honestly, it's always good to push the additional messages out. And I've actually gotten emails and calls after being on the show just from vendors who were like, hey, I didn't know about that. And now they're getting through into the pipeline. So I'm encouraged, and I'm always appreciative of y'all. And if I haven't said it right now.
Okay, so we'll appreciate it, and we'll appreciate a lot more when we can get some sponsorship from the district. So put that on the table back there and see what happens. But, it's always good to be a assistance in reaching our community, and especially those folks that aren't traditionally reached. And it's time for us to open up the coffers and share some of the opportunities with folks, across the board, and especially in areas that, as I said, that are underserved.
Totally agree. And y'all have been a huge help in that, and not just with the education part, but in all different facets of making sure the community knows what's happening. So,
speaking of that, Darryl, what else do we need to know about the upcoming activities? Any more programs? Anything else with COVID? The teachers have all been vaccinated. What's going on with that situation?
Yeah, good question. So everyone's not all the way vaccinated, but everyone has had the opportunity to be vaccinated if you're an educator within Duval County Public Schools. They're actually getting release time to go get that either first shot or second shot. And we're seeing more and more of our teachers take advantage of that. So I think if we can get all of our teachers to kind of help eliminate the spread, and now they're allowing 18 and over to get it as well. So you'll see some of our high school students were. That was some of the major hotspots that we saw when we came back from spring break and winter break, was our high school students. So if you're comfortable with it as a parent, definitely take advantage of those opportunities. And we just hope that as this occurs, we'll continue to still people make sure they're being vigilant about still social distancing and whatnot, because you never know. It might look like I've taken the vaccine, but what does that really look like? So you just have to be careful with it when you're out and about.
Yes, good point, Darrell, because the CDC does say that you can continue to spread the a variant, which is what we talked about in the first segment of the show, that is a much more super spreader than COVID-19. So that's what these new variants are, what the challenges are now. And I'm hoping that the district is taking a look in the future on these new variants that are coming out and preparing to deal with them.
It's going to be key that we stay where we are. Like, I think folks are going to try to reduce their sort of level of masking and whatnot, but now's the time to maintain it. If we can maintain it and be vaccinated, like, we're going to see us be able to get to a sense of normalcy much faster, not only in the schools, but also in our community. So we're looking forward to next year, where hopefully if we can get this right, we just open up full on and folks feel good about sending their kids, everybody, all 100%. We don't know what that's going to look like yet, but the state's making some of those decisions. But if we can do right by community with these numbers, then our students will be able to go in and have that choice.
So Darrell, has the distance decreased at all between the students yet? Or is it still 6 feet between each student in the classroom, or have you all reduced it to 3 feet apart?
Yeah, the CDC came out with those recommendations for 3 feet. Where possible, we're still maintaining the 6 foot, but the 3 feet is kind of where we're going with now. So if desks were a little bit further away, now you can do a little bit more. We have done that. So, But definitely where possible. Masks are still mandatory within our schools, even though the city is different. But yeah, we still have mandatory masks requirements in our schools.
Okay, and one more question. Have you all continued the temperature checks, or have those phased out?
Yeah, those temperature checks are still there as well, mask, and then the only change is really the 3 feet distance is the big change.
Okay.
And before I go, there is a Douglas Anderson has a program by their theater of color class. Students, DA Hands is coming up very soon. It's a great production about the some folks over at DA, because if you remember, DA is a school that was predominantly African-American for a while. So they're putting on a great performance, and they have shows coming up this weekend, all through next week and next week as well. It's on our website, Duval Schools.
All right. That's a great time for that.
Yeah, timely, for sure.
Yes. With everything going on. So
maybe at our next meeting, we can talk about any racial difficulties we've seen over Douglas Anderson. You know, my kids graduated from Douglas Anderson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on, a lot we're trying to do.
A big issue a few weeks ago, the opportunity there to divide the kids and have them talk offline, candidly about the issues that impact them. So would there be other opportunities maybe? You can get the specialists over at University of North Florida. I understand they really know how to deal with race relations and diversity and inclusion itself. At least I understand that's what the principal had to deal with, right?
And Pete goes on.
Darrell, that was directed to you. He was saying, are there any more opportunities for possible,
Yeah, I mean, UNF has already stepped in and is supporting DA, their staff, and their students over there. So a lot has happened. So next time we can definitely get some updates there, and then what we're doing across the district to just be mindful and be responsive and proactive to our students. And
well, that's interesting because they're having some issues over at UNF, right, around racial issues.
We know that we see racial issues across the country. Yeah. So on that note, we just thank you so much, Darrell, for being here with us
today. No problem. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And we look forward to seeing you next week on the Empowerment Hour. This is Praise 107.9 FM. The Empowerment Hour will be back.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
Yes. Please send me. loyalty.
Was lost but now I'm found. Blind but now I see.
Thank you, God.
And you never,
you never gave up on me.
You never gave up on me.
Hallelujah.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. It's Larry Williams, along with Dr. Richard Danford at the Urban League and Jarman Lighten over at Harvest Mental Health Services. We have our entrepreneur expert coming on, and welcome to the Empowerment Hour again, Bing. Bing Parkinson is the director over at the entrepreneur program at the Jacksonville Urban League. And as usual, we're expecting some great things coming out of that program. What's going on, Bing, and happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday to you, Larry, and thanks for having me on. We have quite a few exciting things happening with the Jacksonville Urban League Entrepreneurial Center. We are continuing to provide training to our local entrepreneurs focused on access to capital. Again, I think last week I spoke about the PPP program that has been extended.
Yes.
And we are working with our entrepreneurs to access some capital that's available through the Capital Access Fund of Florida. That is a easy loan program to qualify for and to receive up to $250,000 in a very, very low interest loan for your business.
Wow, that's good. That's good. That's good. So they need to contact the Urban League to get more information?
Absolutely. Yeah, just contact us here at the Urban League, and we can not only give them the information about the loan program, but we can help them to go through the process, the loan process.
Okay.
So we will actually take them from A to Z in the loan process for that fund.
All right. So what else is going on? We're still recruiting for new entrepreneur folks that are looking to start businesses and grow their business?
Yes, that never ends. We are in a constant outreach and recruitment mode. That never ends. We do that 24/7, 365, because that's our primary role, is to provide orientation, recruitment, and training of local entrepreneurs. That's our primary function.
Great, great. And it's much needed. And I'm sure that you're talking to these future entrepreneurs and so forth about the pivot now for businesses in different directions post COVID-19.
Absolutely. One of the primary focus of the Biden administration is not only to provide support to current entrepreneurs, but to give opportunities for individuals to start and operate their own business. So, you know, we're at the forefront of providing the services that are needed or being requested by would-be entrepreneurs and, you know, like I said, current entrepreneurs.
Yes. And being there was some information that was out yesterday. I don't know whether you had a chance to see it or not, but the Beyonce's husband is criticizing the corporate America for lack of investment in Black businesses from the private sector. And I'm not sure if you've heard about that particular incident, but in general, are corporations doing their part, not just the government agencies, but corporations, are they doing their part to assist Black businesses in startups and helping them be sustainable?
Well, for the Jacksonville Urban League through the National Urban League, we have received quite a bit of funding through many national organizations, including Pepsi, the Pepsi Foundation, TD Bank, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, just to name a few of these national corporations that have stepped up and funded the startup and training of small minority-owned businesses just here in Jacksonville.
Well, that's great to know that there are some companies out there that are, you know, doing their part to make sure that the wealth is shared. Black businesses, need the same opportunities as other businesses. And when we can participate on a corporate level, it makes it that much more advantageous for us to continue to build wealth in our communities.
Hey, Bing.
Yes, sir.
I had a question. Do you see any coordination of the entrepreneur providers? I mean, this work that we are doing currently, there are a number of providers in Jacksonville that are doing similar things. We obviously feel strongly that our program is a good program, but do you see any kind of coordination where you guys, whomever, looking at best practices as we help do this work in this community? It's enough work for everybody when you think
absolutely.
About it.
And Yeah, we do coordinate the Jacksonville Urban League Entrepreneur Program. We do coordinate with some of the organizations locally that are providing similar services. One of the primary organizations with which we coordinate is the SBA. We often have discussions and have joint presentation with the Small Business Administration that is instrumental in providing support to small businesses in Jacksonville.
Thanks for hopping on, Bing, and can you give us that information, contact information again?
Contact information for our center is 904-723-4010. That's 904-723-4010.
Okay. Bing, thanks so much for hopping on and sharing with us, and we look forward to getting some more information next week, some more positive information about what's going on over there in the entrepreneur program. Take care and have a blessed weekend.
Thank you, Larry, and I'll speak with you next Saturday.
All right, take care. Peace out. Gentlemen, throughout the things we've been talking about, do we have time to talk about mental health?
No, we are wrapping it up. I was just getting ready to give the email address.
I need some help, John. Don't wrap it up. I need some help.
call Harbor's Mental Health Services, and she'll take care of you, Doc. I need to be second in line. I'll let Doc go first.
Yes, and visit our website at harvestinterventions.com. We're accepting new patients. So if you have any questions or comments that you would like to send to us, that email address is jacksempowermenthour@gmail.com. jacksempowermenthour@gmail.com. That's a lot to say.
We love to hear from you guys, and we'll try to make something shorter next time. This is Larry Williams along with Dr. Richard Danford and Jarman Leitner. You guys have a blessed weekend and enjoy until we talk again next Saturday. Peace.